This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Tickets here to CBS Sports Radio. Let's do this. CBS Sports Network coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here. Tiki and Tierney, coast to coast, 3 hours every single day. 3 to 6 Eastern and noon to 3 Pacific. Of course, get the tweets going at Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. A quick summation. I'm gonna actually do golf a little more thoroughly in the second hour. We got to get to this protest stuff with the Dolphins that happened at the end of the show yesterday. But if you drive it around and, you know, kind of parachute in, parachute out, see what's happening with the Open Championship at Carnoustie, here's a nice overview. Okay, 3 golfers -6, 3 golfers -5, 4 golfers -4, 3 golfers -3, 5 golfers -2, 10 golfers -1. Now, unfortunately, of all those golfers, none are named Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson. Tiger's even par. You know, he's 1 of 11 right now at level par. Bottom line is this. Again, I'll expound more hour number two. You know, when there's that many people in front of you, not that he's out of it by any stretch, but you don't jump 30 people-ish, 28, 29, 30, could bend a little bit before we get out of here. Right now it's around 30, with one good round over the weekend. You know, when you're 6 shots off the lead and there's 27, 28, 29 people in front of you, you need 2 good rounds to do it. So we'll see. I mean, he didn't bury himself. Certainly didn't get any separation, but he didn't bury himself. Even par. By the way, projected cut, +3. And it's funny because as much as people criticize, oh, Tiger Woods, God, even par, he's just not going to win again. Oh, he's not that good anymore. Dustin Johnson, +6. Bye-bye, not making the cut. Bubba Watson, couple of the majors, peace out, not making the cut. Justin Rose, world-class, great golfer. Bye-bye, not making the cut. Sergio won the Masters last year. Later, not making the cut. Let's see. In terms of big names on the board, it's actually, and this is why I don't think, as much as I said that Tiger would win coming in, there's a lot of big names on the board, and these guys aren't going to crack. I mean, Rory's up there. Rory's really playing well. Zach Johnson, he already won the Open Championship. He's got a Masters as well. Tommy Fleetwood's a guy that we're going to have to start paying a lot of attention to. He's got a lot of game. Ricky Fowler's playing great. Maybe this time he finally cracks through. Jordan Spieth has been really good. Even Adam Scott and Brooks Koepka, both Scott and Brooks Koepka -1. Of course, we know that Scott's got a major. Koepka's got 2 U.S. Opens, all prominently on the board. So, you know, who knows what the weekend's going to hold for Tiger, but he made the cut. I told you that would certainly happen if he comes out tomorrow. I don't know if he needs to go 65 or even maybe 66, but if he's not around 67, he's going to have a really – and then obviously followed up with an incredible round 4, or at least a really good round 4. It looks as if Tiger would not win, but he's got a puncher shot. He really does. All right, let's get to this. How do you even start this? You know, it just – my head was exploding yesterday because with about – but what do you think, D-Cell? 13 minutes-ish before the end of the show?
Yeah, last segment of yesterday's show.
Yeah. By the way, how do you like the big chair today?
Oh, you know it goes straight to my head.
Oh, I know it does. Maybe you can push out the little, inch-out Santa. Where is he, in the Bahamas with his girl?
Yeah.
If you do a good enough job, we'll tell him to stay put. You take over for him.
All right, let's do it.
By the way, this hour, my boy Fletch, London Fletcher, will stop by. My Topps teammate, future Hall of Famer, by the way. He's eligible next season. And we'll get into, obviously, the Dolphins stuff and what's happening with the NFL. And let's get to that now. What's crazy about this, you know, and I really thought we were kind of safe, where for the first time in a couple of years, we actually had a pretty benign offseason. not to marginalize Jameis Winston's situation by no means, not to just take LeSean McCoy and what's going on there, just dump that in the side of the room and play dumb and act as if that hasn't happened, or allegedly has happened. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what happened, but we do know that Shady's got some legal hurdles to clear his name for sure. But the difference with that compared to last year, while the gravity of the situation, certainly with Winston and McCoy, if he's found guilty, I mean, Deflategate pales in comparison to that. But think about how much time we wasted, how much airtime Tiki and I and all the shows here at CBS Sports Radio, the debate shows, Twitter, social media, how much energy we devoted to Deflategate. And then eventually Ezekiel Elliott. I remember that just dragged on for months. We didn't know. What's the resolution? What's the answer? Who knows? So for the first time, I was getting excited. I'm like, maybe for the first time in a while, you know, we could actually get into the young crop of quarterbacks entering the NFL and not have to, you know, dance a legal dance and wonder, when do suspensions come? What happens with Goodell? What happens here? What happens there? I thought it was going to be about football for the majority of this offseason. And for the most part, again, outside of the flare-ups with Winston, and even though that's a huge situation, the difference with Deflategate and Ezekiel Elliott more specifically, those things, I mean, at least with Winston, that was, what do you think, D-Cell, 2 or 3 day news cycle at best? I mean, that was kind of in. It was dropped in our laps. We hit it. The league rendered their verdict. He didn't appeal it. He didn't just, you know, boom, 4 games. We'll see you in week number 5, Jameis Winston. We moved on from that pretty fast. And I thought we were getting to a point where, you know, we could start, here we go, bro. You know, whether it's Baker Mayfield, whether it's, you know, Sam Darnold, whether it's Josh Rosen, whether it's Josh Allen, whether it's Saquon Barkley, whether it's Deshaun Watson coming back from injury, whether it's Carson Wentz coming back from injury. I thought we were getting back to football. Nope, we're not back to football. Thanks to the Miami Dolphins. What a mess. All right, so here's where we are with this. Just to connect the dots for a second here, all right? And then, D-Cell, I want to have you reset the Twitter poll. It's a good one. I think you guys really want to chime in on that. I know you want to talk about this, so I'll throw out the number now because I will certainly take calls, 855-212-4227, because you could just feel. You can feel the emotions get ratcheted up yesterday. You can feel, as even though you can't see it, you can feel like the venom and the energy in which people were hitting that keyboard as they were tweeting away on this. I mean, it was palpable. It was bleeding through at least my screen. I know you felt it as well. So I promise we'll get calls. But we thought that we had a pretty fair indication as to what was going to happen with the protests, right? Back in May, we know that the NFL owners revised the league's policy to fine teams whose players did not display, quote, proper respect during the playing of the Star-Spangled Banner. Now, teams were given the option of passing those fines along to the players. My team, the Jets, automatically came out and said, no, there's no way that that's going to happen. A few other teams followed suit. Players were also given the option of remaining in the locker room during the anthem. So, again, this is where this happened in May. You know, we had the draft. We had this happen in May. And then it was like, all right, you know, we'll see you at training camp. It was all about LeBron. It was all about the NBA Finals. It was all about NBA free agency. Smooth sailing, right? Pretty good baseball season. No. Then the Dolphins parachute in with this little bomb. I mean, how dumb are the Dolphins? I mean, this, I got to be honest. I just don't understand, like, the lack of, you know the term street sense. You know, just you either know how to handle yourself or, and I don't mean physical. I'm not talking like a tough Joe Tell. I don't mean that. But how to read a room, how to get a sense of when it's time to maybe bail on the room. You know, all right, you're in the bar. It's 1:15. Seems a little like the tones start to shift a little bit. It's time to go. Time to cash out. Let me get my credit card behind the bar. It's time to go. You know, you just know when it's time to say something and when it's not. And the Miami Dolphins, now, to be fair, they did not volunteer this. This was incredible journalism on the part of the AP. I guess good journalism still does exist, right? Nicely done as they uncovered it was a 9-page policy that the Dolphins were getting prepared to implement. pertaining to player conduct. And again, this was obtained by the AP on Thursday. The document lists protests during the anthem among the reasons players could be punished for conduct detrimental to the club. Whoa, okay. Got my attention. Got our attention. What is it? You know, a really heavy fine? What does this entail? Well, players who violate their provisions could be fined and or suspended a month. 4 games. 25% of the season. Wow. All right, so we went May. We thought we had some stability. Here's the new policy. People will abide by it. There'll be some who don't. They'll get fined. That'll be handled swiftly, you would imagine. Most players, you would think, would stay in the locker room. They want to protest. Then the Dolphins drop this in. And now, of course, we have another joint statement on the anthem policy. This is ridiculous. I'm going to read this for you. The NFL and the NFLPA, through recent discussions, had been working on a resolution to the anthem issue. In order to allow this constructive dialogue to continue, we've come to a standstill agreement on the NFLPA's grievance and on the NFL anthem's policy. All right. No new rules relating to the anthem will be issued or enforced for the next several weeks while these confidential discussions are going on. Let me translate that for you. It means they have no idea what the hell they're going to do. They are just hitting pause, and they're saying, help, help. Let us figure this out, because what do you know? We got it wrong again. Again. It's amazing how the most popular league in our country is seemingly so inept at just maintaining some order, just kind of keeping things going with positive momentum, you know? Yeah, so we could have constructive. And listen, I don't doubt that they're going to try to get some resolution here, but this is code for somebody throw us a lifeline. We're drowning again. Somebody help. All right, the NFL and the NFLPA reflect the great values of America, which are repeatedly demonstrated by the many players doing extraordinary work, which is true, in communities. So many players. I mean, of course, the way we do it nowadays, sadly, we gravitate to the negative and we, for the most part, either ignore or completely gloss over the good. And there are so many good people, men and women with the shield, players who really give a lot of time and money. I'll be honest with you. When you make, you know, millions, the easiest thing in the world to do is cut a little check and just send it in the mail. The harder thing to do is to actually, you know, get out of bed when you just, you know, you had 63 car wrecks the previous day. If you played Sunday or Monday and you're doing this on a Tuesday, you know, go to a home, the shelter, go and actually grab a hammer and build a home. You know, Habitats for Humanity. My wife's done that in Texas, which is great. She did that when she lived there. It's an amazing cause. It's phenomenal. That's the hard part. And they do this all the time. But, of course, nobody wants to talk about that. Our shared focus will remain on finding a solution to the anthem issue throughout and through mutual good faith commitments outside of litigation. So that's the joint statement on anthem policy code. We're trying to get this thing right for about the ninth time, and we haven't gotten there yet. All right, 1-855-212-4227. A couple of things that I want you to call in on, and really, really I want you. Now, you can go in any direction that you want, but I'm very curious. Like, before this dropped with 15 minutes to go in this show, and before you saw this on social media, we were kind of like that negativity, that uncomfortable energy. I thought for the most part that was stifled, that was for the most part quelled. We were moving forward, getting ready for football, and now the Dolphins drop this. Of course, they pull it back, and now the players' union and the NFL will get together and try to get this right. But I mean, how stunned were you that the Dolphins were? The word's not even brazen. The word truly. I'm sorry to be so blunt. That the Dolphins were so dumb, like so neglectful of the spirit of their locker room, at least some of the locker room, not all of it, some of the locker room, to even think that suspending players for a month would fly. I don't get, you know, the NFL's left me scratching my head a lot in the last decade or so. This is just beyond perplexing. I've got no explanation for what the Dolphins thought they could get away with. It's incredible. 855-212-4227. I'm really interested in getting together with my guy, Fletch. London Fletcher, after your calls and after the next segment, Fletch at 3:40 Eastern and 12:40 Pacific. Of course, my Tops teammate, future Hall of Famer, 221 straight games, beast, great player, we know that. I would love to know, and I'm going to get into this coming up next year before I chat with Fletch, although I will throw it by him. You know, imagine if this would have stayed true and they didn't try to recalibrate and the Dolphins went forward with this. Would it be incredible to suggest that as a team, the Dolphins would not have showed up for week one of the NFL season? That's how much I think they would have been pushed, that that would have been on the table. I really do. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. We'll get your calls, get your tweets. We'll tell you what the poll question is when we get back. Golf Hour 2, inbounds, out of bounds. Baseball is back as well. But this is just incredible. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money, just switch to GEICO. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, get it all at geico.com. Okay, Tiki and Tierney here on a busy Friday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Teak is out, so rolling solo today. Get these calls in a minute. Let's get the Twitter poll question out there. Let me at least let you know what it is. We've not done that yet. Let's just pop it up. Obviously, it's about the anthem stuff and the revisions and the joint press release by the NFL and the union. All right, here we go. So after the Dolphins announced that suspensions would be. Did you write this wrong, DSO?
After the Dolphins announced that suspensions would be an anthem protest punishment yesterday, the NFL and the NFLPA released a joint statement last night announcing a, quote, standstill on the NFL's new anthem policy.
Uh-huh.
The solution to the anthem policy is to, one, overhaul the policy, two, tweak it, three, leave the policy as is.
There you go. It's funny. I usually, it's either me or Santa who will do the polls, and you kind of write a certain way. So when I see after the Dolphins announced that suspensions would be an anthem I wouldn't write it like that. I'm not convinced that that's right. I mean, it's not wrong. Still don't know if it's written as fluidly as I would have written it. But that's okay.
Well, if it's not wrong, then I guess it means it's right.
Yes, but there's varying degrees of being correct. Like you, it's partial, a little partial credit.
Yeah, I'll take what I can
get. Give you B minus.
All right.
Strike one for the day, though. Hey, London Fletcher coming up next segment. His nephew, Amari Spellman, looked really good over summer league, but we'll talk a little football. I said we'll squeeze in low hoops. I always do that with Fletch during the commercial breaks on top, so he's a huge Cavaliers fan. We'll make fun of him that LeBron left again. All right, let's get let's start in California. Eduardo's up first here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Eduardo, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going? How's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Not bad. Just wanted to ask you, I'm not sure if you and Tiki have commented on this, but my thing about this whole four-game suspension is I see what the league is doing. However, maybe you can comment to this, is that I see a lawsuit coming because it seems like the ACLU, the way to protect constitutional rights, it seems like the players and the NFLPA will sue the league because it seems like, yes, they want to protect the flag, and I totally get that, but mm-hmm. You can't block somebody from not protesting when we have those rights. Those rights are in the Bill of Rights. They're in the Constitution.
Yes.
And I just want to get your comment.
Well, Eduardo, I think there's a difference, and I think this is what a lot of people miss. Sure, you know, our constitutional rights are our constitutional rights, but the workplace, you know, it's a little bit of a different interpretation. It's a private company. So it's not as transferable. I know that everybody tries to make it that way, and in certain instances it is. I don't see a lawsuit. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm naive here. I don't think they're going to sue him. I mean, I'd like to think over the next couple of weeks they said they're going to buy a little time and they get this thing done right. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. I know that what isn't the answer is to further alienate and just have this fissure just continue to grow, this crack widen, and eventually the ice breaks. You know, that's not good for anybody because, you know, once the players, and most of them have, or a fair amount of them, have already lost faith in Goodell, in the leadership of the NFL, but once that really fully takes over, I don't know if you could go back from that. I don't know how you recover from that. That could be a lengthy process, and quite frankly, it might have to come under a different commissioner, whomever that next commissioner is down the road. I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not a lawyer, so you guys could drop all these legal things on me. I'm just telling you, it's a separate, you know, there's what you can do on a street corner in the United States of America protesting is not necessarily the same thing that you could do as an employee of a football team. You got to understand that. Let's get Lee, who is in Cleveland, and Lee is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Lee, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Lee.
Can you hear me?
I got you, buddy.
Okay, good, man. Mm-hmm. So I think about this a lot. I'm a big football fan, you know, being in Ohio.
Yep.
And I've always thought how much goodwill the league could garner by just acknowledging that there's an issue. You know, like, acknowledge that there's a problem between police and black folks in the community, mm-hmm. and go from there. When those guys, if those guys could decide to come together and really create a solution or do what they can to create a solution, I think we would be a lot further down the road than we are trying to battle and pull the rope one way or another.
I think they are trying to do, but Lee, I think they are trying to do that. I don't think, and trust me, I'm not here to just blindly defend the NFL. I mean, I got no dog in the race. I mean, really, if the NFL messes up, I'm going to get paid the same amount. I mean, if the NFL does a great job, I'm going to get paid the same amount. So I don't really, I mean, I want the league to do well so we can get back to just kind of enjoying football. But I do think the league has taken some steps to talk to players where a couple of years ago, they didn't even have a conversation. Now there's a conversation. They're listening to what their complaints are, and they're trying to go from there and try to come up with a resolution. It's not going to happen overnight, Lee.
Right, but think about this for a second.
Yeah.
If the league collectively came together and did retraining, say, in Cleveland, in Baltimore, Pittsburgh, whatever, they funded a program that would bring the police departments in their football cities to make themselves more favorable to people. Right, so because the problem is that there's an issue between police and the African American community.
Well, let me correct you for a second. There's an issue with an incredibly small percentage of police officers and the African American community. Let's not make that blanket statement because that's ridiculous.
You're right.
Go ahead.
But then you go into the issue of good cops not standing up against the bad cops. So. It becomes a messy thing. But.
It is. I'm not saying that there's no mess to it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying it's not complicated. Thanks for the call, Lee. It's really hard there's a lot of twists and turns in this conversation. And to have a meaningful conversation about this, you have to be willing to listen. You have to. Did you guys, I'll tell you what, I was going to tweet it, but I'm like, you know what, if I tweet this, people are like, whoa, which way do you lean? Which way do you support? I have no time for that. But did you guys happen to see the meltdown on The View between Whoopi Goldberg and Judge Pirro? Did you guys see that? You didn't see that, D-Cell? To me, that is emblematic. I'm not talking about what they were arguing about. Forget about that for a second. I'm not talking about policy, not even taking a side at all. I'm just talking, go to YouTube and watch that. Go and watch that. And watch at the end, right? When it's just where basically they're the other three women on the set. They're not saying a word. It's basically one-on-one. And listen to the way they're having this quote-unquote conversation. It's not a two-way street. And I've always said this. When it comes to race, when it comes to politics, when it comes to religion, when it comes to things that inflame tension. And Tiki and I talk about this all the time. Tiki, some of the conversations Tiki and I have off the air are as good as the ones that we have on the air. It's like, if Act, just engage me for a moment here.
Sure.
Just say you and I are on total different sides. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's about, we'll say it's about religion, so we won't make it politics and race. Well, it's about religion. Now, I'm Catholic, you are Jewish,
yes.
But we both have a, I mean, we, you know, we're from the same neighborhood, and
exactly.
We grew up with that. It's awesome.
Faison.
That's right, you're my guy. But just imagine, like, fundamentally, like, you had a real issue with Christianity and me with your faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we clearly don't.
Yes.
Instead of, like, you talk and you say something, and I listen, I say, I hear you, that's interesting, I didn't know that, wow, and then incorporate that, and then maybe lob something back to you. Watch the YouTube, watch the meltdown on The View, because that is the way conversations go. It is, I got 9 things in my pocket, and I'm going to throw them at you. Boom, 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 and you're going to do the same thing, and while you're throwing at me, I'm throwing at you, and we're not listening to a word that's being said, which means
apparently
there's no progress.
It went beyond that, too.
What's that?
Apparently it went beyond that, too.
I did. It went behind the scenes. I did read that. But that's a big problem mm-hmm. with all these conversations.
Yeah.
We try to, you're not going to solve them, certainly not within a radio segment. That's for damn sure, and I'm smart enough to know that. You're not going to solve these at a bar over drinks. Mm-hmm. You're not going to solve these, you know, even over dinner with, you know, friends that you love but might really truly disagree with over a good bottle of wine.
Well,
it's a conversation that's got to keep going.
I think what you have to have, and I'm not saying that this was the case or wasn't the case, but I think you have to have respect, and that's where at least you and Tiki, you respect, even though you might have a differing viewpoint and you might not maybe be in favor of it, you guys have a mutual respect for one another that
mm-hmm.
you can kind of connect at some point. It's almost like that argument became parallel lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, yeah. And I'll tell you this, too. We're going to get with London Fletcher. Can't wait to get Fletcher on the show coming up. You think about how that what you just said is really important. When you have a commonality, and I don't mean in terms of belief, but just a commonality of respect, that is what is absent in so many of these flare-ups, these blow-ups, these exchanges on Twitter and radio calls and all that. Because if you don't, like, if I respect you, even if I have my ultimate point, because I trust you, when you respect somebody, generally you trust them. Mm. I can say, yeah, you know, listen, that was really wrong. Mm. If you're a devout Trump supporter and you're in a room with people who detest the president,
yep.
and that's 50-50, I mean,
yeah.
there's no middle of the room at that point. If you're with people that you trust, you could say, yeah, maybe he shouldn't have worded things the way he did in Finland the other day. And but then you could still maybe support him. But if you're against somebody that you don't know, and that you don't respect, you're not going to grant. You know what I mean? So
and the society
there's no progress.
Yeah, the society that we live in right now is, you know, because of Twitter and anything else. And I'm not meaning that in a detrimental way, but it's opinion, 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 and you don't know where it's coming from or whatever. And I'll just give you a very good example.
Mm.
You know, I didn't necessarily agree with Colin Kaepernick when he first started, you know, his protest with the kneeling.
No, neither did I.
But you know what, though? I came to respect his views because I knew that, or I've come to learn in the process that it was well thought out. He talked with, you know, war veterans
mm-hmm.
on the best way to do things.
Just donate money.
You know, it wasn't frivolously done where, you know, I just don't like this. I'm taking a knee or not coming out or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was well thought out at least.
Although wearing socks.
Yeah.
With, you know, depicting policemen as pigs.
Yeah.
It kind of waters down your message a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm just
that's
saying,
where he lost me a little bit.
But I'm just saying, though, in terms of at least that, you know, he went through some I don't agree with that either, but that's another story for another day. But at least he tried. And, you know, it just didn't come like, well, I don't like this. And I think that's so easily you could fall into that trap. You just read somebody's words on Twitter and you're just like, well, who's this person?
Yeah, you know? I got you. Because there's, I'm with you. All right. Let's get Axe Update. London Fletcher is going to join us next. Big Dog, Big Fletch is next after Axe Update. Here's Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time to ask the pros here on Tiki and Tierney. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So here's how we do it. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. That's our Twitter handle, at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros and make sure you stick around. Listen later on. I'll answer the best one. So the more compelling, the more thought-provoking it is, better chance we'll actually use it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We'll do a little more golf hour two. Obviously, the first hour heavy on the football with the Dolphins. That happened about 15 minutes before yesterday's show ended. Obviously, wanted to circle back to that. We've got inbounds, out of bounds coming up next hour. Baseball second half is going to be underway. And I'm looking forward to this. My boy, big dog Fletch, London Fletcher, who is, let's face it, I'm going to have to start introducing him as, and listen, if he was humble, which he's not, because every commercial break during Tops, he tells me how many tackles he made and how great he was in high school basketball. I'm going to have to start introducing this guy as a future Hall of Famer. He's eligible next season, and he's eventually getting in. It's my Tops teammate, a great player, 221 straight starts, a tackle machine, Fletch, London Fletcher. What up, Fletch? How are you today?
What's up, BT?
What's going on, buddy?
If you don't promote yourself, who will?
I'll do it for you. I look out for you a little bit.
You do it, and then I'll do it myself also.
Nobody trumps London Fletcher's horn like London Fletcher. And before we get into the football, I got to tell you, the video that I saw on Instagram, I guess that was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, with your daughter hitting that 3-wood from the fairway. You might have a little something there, Fletch.
Yeah, that was her first time golfing, BT, and I was pleasantly surprised with her swing. I felt like she's a gymnast, so she doesn't have a lot of time to do other sports. But I looked at it, and I was like, you got these long arms, you know, nice-sized hands. You're going to play another sport. So golf could be a lifestyle sport for her. And she enjoys to go out there and hit some balls around with her brother and myself.
Nice.
I think my youngest daughter, too, from time to time.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know you guys don't live – you're basically on the golf course. You guys get out there a lot, or at least you try to. So let me ask you this, Fletch. I introduce you as future Hall of Famer. Eventually you're going to be a Hall of Famer. We both know that. What is your reaction? I haven't seen you post this on Twitter. I haven't talked to you about this yet. What's your reaction? What T.O.'s doing? How he's going to handle this with his enshrinement?
You know, I was surprised that he opted not to attend the event. I guess I should not have been surprised when you think about T.O. and kind of his, you know, persona, mm-hmm. kind of how he's done things throughout his career. You know, when you look at him being upset about not being a first ballot Hall of Famer, second ballot Hall of Famer, and he had a gripe because when you look at everything, you truly just base it on his performance and his production on the field. There's no doubt that T.O. should have been a Hall of Famer. Hey, you know, the voters, they did what they did and whatever. But I looked at it as an opportunity for for T.O. to dispel any misconceptions about his personality, about him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to hear his story, and that's one of the great things about the Hall of Fame, you know, inductions. You get to hear the story about what motivated the guy, what things that they went through to get to the point that they did to become a Hall of Famer. It was going to be an opportunity for him to thank everybody who meant so much to his life, and I know he'll still do it.
Yep.
But I just think it's a little bit different because if you think about the Hall of Fame ceremony and that induction is really a celebration of football, of the game of football. And I think, celebration of the greats. And T.O. was a great in the game of football. So I'm disappointed. I know moving forward, he'll probably regret not having that video of his bust being displayed in front of, everybody and having that video for his children.
Yeah.
Yeah, always go back and look at it. So I was disappointed. Just from that standpoint.
Well, and he's got an interesting story. I mean, listen, he wasn't a top 10 pick, didn't play at USC, didn't play for the Buckeyes, didn't play for Bama. And I'm certainly not going to put this young man in the Hall of Fame yet, but I would imagine, because those who don't know, Fletch is a Cleveland kid, and he's still a Browns fan. I mean, you are one of the few retired athletes that really still loves an NFL team. It's amazing. I love that you still do that because we talk about this all the time on Tops, whether it's on the air or off the air. And I think that knowing your road, you know, how you started playing college hoops and then you transferred and you weren't drafted, you were an Iron Man, and we all know that. I would imagine that you have to have a lot of respect for the path that Baker Mayfield, who is now going to be the quarterback of your hometown team, that he's taken to get here. You know, he had to walk on to a couple of teams that didn't come easy. How do you think he's going to do this year, and what's your first impressions? I know you still got a lot of people back there in Cleveland. What are they saying about Baker?
You know, BT, we had Baker on our show during the season after he won the Heisman.
That's right.
I'm an Ohio State fan in addition to being a Browns and a Redskins fan. So, you know, I was I had preconceived ideas and thoughts about Baker, you know, based on his personality and how his persona is on the football field. And he was legitimately nothing like that. I mean, it was he was very humble. You could see his just appreciation for what he was able to accomplish, thanking his teammates and all the things like that. I think Baker, he's in a great situation with being in that quarterback room with a Tyrod Taylor. He doesn't have to start right away. You know, he can come, he can learn from a veteran player, learn what it takes to be a quarterback in the National Football League. And I without a doubt, know that the playing quarterback in the NFL is the most difficult position in all the sports because of the commitment that it requires of your time and also the dedication to be able to do it at a high level. And it's great when you're a rookie and you don't have to kind of learn it on the fly, learn it on your own. He can go, he can learn from Tyrod, see him prepare, not have to take that beating and go through all the growing pains, so to speak, as a rookie. And I think, you know, moving forward up to Cleveland, they would love to not have Baker take a snap this year. Hopefully Tyrod will be the quarterback all year long. And I think that will serve him well if he can just sit this full year out and then assume the starting quarterback role next year.
Yep, yep. Talking to London Fletcher, of course. Fletch, now this is season number 5 for you. Bart Scott was on the first year, and then he went to the NFL today. And then and this is season number 6 for me, for Adam, and for Amy. And it's around the corner, man. I mean, it's coming up pretty soon before you know it. And I certainly want to ask you this, because the way this is – yeah, I thought outside of this Jameis Winston and LeSean McCoy situation, this summer felt a little – and I know that those are two big things – but it felt different because last year and the year of Deflategate and how many games was Zeke going to get suspended? It was just it never ended. Like, what's going to happen? Like, this summer's been a lot about football outside of those two, albeit big instances. And then yesterday, out of nowhere, the Dolphins dropped this, where the AP actually got word of the policy here, and now we've got the joint statement from the NFL and the NFLPA. Here's what I want to ask you: what do you think? If this wasn't walked back, what do you think would have happened inside that Miami Dolphin locker room? Because the word is that Adam Gase was the one who wanted to implement this 4-game suspension. And I can't imagine guys are going to want to play for somebody who was willing to do that. How does this unfold in Miami?
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, when you look at how this is now the third year that the national anthem protests are still in the in the headlines with the National Football League. And I think, you know, the NFL really created this year's headlines themselves by coming up with that that policy that they did earlier this this offseason. I think it was really dying down, and players were starting to look at different ways where they can protest and impact and get their message out there. But then when the NFL implements this policy, and then you see the Dolphins come out with their intentions, whether they were going to truly suspend a player or not, we don't know. But the fact that the NFL was requiring all teams to come up with a disciplinary policy, or what were they going to do? Were they going to choose to fine players or suspend players, or were they just going to be like the Jets, acting owner
Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson would say, I'm not going to do anything. I'll pay any fine that my players have. And so there was not going to be uniformity amongst all 32 teams. But, you know, from the Dolphins standpoint, I'm sure there would be some players that would feel a certain way and still maybe protest. And I tell you what, there was going to be a major fight on the NFL's hands to try to suspend a player for conduct detrimental for standing during the national anthem. I just don't see how you can that was probably not going to fly under the collective and bargaining agreement.
That's crazy. Well, listen, just one of many topics I know we'll tackle. We'll do a Topps preview show. We'll get to the rookie quarterbacks, coaches on the hot seat. Obviously, you and I, and of course, Adam and Amy and the rest of the crew, be getting after it all season. And I got to bounce, but I know I texted you this, but I wanted to get this on the air. Congrats again. Amari Spellman is related to Fletch. So I'm really happy he got that first round pick, that guaranteed contract, and he looks pretty good in summer league, or he looks pretty good, and I'll be seeing you pretty soon, brother. Thanks for hopping off, Fletch.
I appreciate it, BT.
Okay, there you go. There you go, London Fletcher. By the way, so the 2019 Hall of Fame class, you got Ed Reed, you got Tony Gonzalez, you got Champ Bailey, Fletch is eligible. Wow. All right, little golf coming up. Carnoustie, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.